Imagine a world of Gabriel the angel. He was present in the Garden of Eden as Adam and Eve took that fateful bite of the forbidden fruit. He watched as mankind sought peace with God through the shed blood of animal sacrifices. For a time, it seemed like Satan's forces were winning. But God loved his world so much that he would go himself to rescue it. Only God could imagine a love like that. Only God could love a love like that. A love so powerful that it was enough to wipe away the sin of an entire world. For God so loved the world. That was his plan from the beginning. Gabriel was there when God chose Mary, a young woman from Nazareth, to bear his only begotten son here on earth. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, a godly man, a carpenter, chosen by God to watch over, to guide and provide for them as an earthly father would. When the time was right, Gabriel spoke to Mary. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and you will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel,
"How will this be, since I'm a virgin?"
And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God."
"Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel left me. I was alone again. I thought about what the angel had said. My son, God's son, was coming to save the world. I asked myself again, why me? When I told my mother what happened, she didn't believe me. She laughed and hugged me and told me I must have fallen asleep and had a wonderful dream. But I knew this was no dream. Before I could tell Joseph, my mother arranged for me to go visit my cousin Elizabeth. The angel said Elizabeth was pregnant too. I couldn't wait to see her and tell her about the angel. I called out to her as I entered her house, and she exclaimed and fell to my feet and cried out, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." Then she told me that the baby in her womb leaped for joy when I called out for her. It was a wonderful visit. I stayed about 3 months, and by that time it was obvious I was going to have a baby. It was time to tell Joseph. I was suddenly afraid. What would he say? He knew this child wasn't his. I knew it sounded incredible, but it was true. I still wasn't sure why God chose me, chose Joseph and me to raise his son. Was I really the best mother for his child? I could do nothing more than pray and trust God would help.
Traveled I missed Mary when she was gone. When I heard she was back, I ran to see her. As I came to her house, she was so beautiful, standing in the doorway. Then she turned to speak to someone inside, and I saw it. She was obviously with child. I couldn't believe my eyes, and my heart sank. Stunned, I allowed Mary to take me by the hand and lead me to the bench beneath the arbor at the side of the house. She told me some story about an angel visiting, telling her she was going to bear a child, God's son. At least, I thought that's what she said. I could hardly hear her. My ears were roaring, and I felt like my face was going to burst into flames. My dreams of starting a life, a family with Mary, were shattered. My Mary was carrying a child, but it wasn't my child. How could it be? Mary was, she was too pure, too good, too Mary. It was unbelievable. I mumbled something. I don't know what. I pulled my hand away and walked out of the gate, pushing my way through a crowd of curious neighbors. As the sun began to set, there I was, sitting in the house that I had prepared for Mary, wondering what I was going to do. In the eyes of the law, we were man and wife, even though the rabbi hadn't performed the ceremony yet. I should divorce Mary. I was a godly man. No one would blame me. I would divorce her, but I'd do it quietly. The gossip had already started. Nasty, hurtful comments. There was no reason to make it worse for her with a public spectacle. I still loved her. I decided to see the rabbi at daylight. I finally fell into a fitful sleep. An angel appeared to me in a dream. I know, another angel. Sure, Joseph's lost it too, right? But there he was. And I knew it wasn't a regular dream. He was right there. And I'll never forget his words.
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
I sat straight up in bed. Then I remembered the words of the prophet.
Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Mary was carrying God's child, his son. My Mary was still mine, and she was going to bear our Messiah. I couldn't wait to beg her forgiveness for doubting her. The look on her face when I pulled my hand away pained my heart. Mary knew God was with her, with us, and now I knew it. I fell on my face thanking God for Mary, for the child, and thanking him for allowing me to care for them. Messiah was coming, and he was going to live in my house.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Joseph returned to Mary's house and told her of his dream and brought her to the home he had prepared for her. Word had gotten around about Mary's angel, but everyone assumed that Joseph was the father of her child. After a while, the whispers died down, but the scandal never did. As Mary's time approached, Caesar Augustus sent out a decree that a census would be taken. Joseph prepared to make the journey to Bethlehem to be registered. Joseph loaded their things on an old donkey that would carry Mary, as she was great with child. She packed things for the journey, wondering if she would make it to Bethlehem before the baby came. As she packed, she prayed that God would watch over them as they traveled and that her precious child would be safely delivered. Their journey was slow, leaving them to arrive in Bethlehem long after other travelers. Mary suspected her little one was going to arrive soon. Joseph did his best to find a place to stay, but the inns were full. As he was getting anxious to find a place for Mary to rest, she never complained, but her sighs and moans indicated that she had ridden too far for the day. He knew the birth was imminent.
Oy vey! Sure I remember that night. What a week, people coming in from all over. We had them stacked on top of each other. Everybody was tired and cranky. We need more blankets. Where is there no more food? I need more room. We were here first. You know how it is. I turned away so many people that night, I lost count. I turned the young couple away, too. I felt sorry for them. I could see the woman was carrying a child, and from the looks of her, it was going to come soon. But I had no more room. And anyway, she wouldn't want to be packed in with a bunch of strangers when her time came, would she? No. This was no place for a woman about to have a baby. What was I to do? I turned a deaf ear to the man's pleas. It was not my problem.
My Samuel is right. Our inn was overflowing with people and their families. It was chaos. Chaos, I tell you. It seemed as if every family of the line of David returned to Bethlehem to register for the census. My Samuel is right. We were full. There was no room anywhere. Oh, yes, the young couple. I had come to the door to call Samuel to settle an argument between two families, and there they were. A man leading this shaggy old donkey with an exhausted young woman sitting on him. Somehow, over all the noise around and behind me, I heard the woman gasp, and I looked closer. Her eyes were closed, and she was clutching the donkey's mane. Her child would be coming very soon. She opened her eyes and looked straight into mine. Yes, it would be soon. Forgetting the argument to be settled, I told my Samuel, "Samuel, find some place, any place. If we don't help them, that baby is going to be born here in this street. Hurry."
I know when my wife means business, and she meant business that night. But I really didn't know what to do, so I did what I always do when I want to think. I went to the stable to look after the animals. I looked after the animals a lot that week. Besides my own, it seemed like everybody brought their animals along with them. Cattle and dogs, chickens and a couple of donkeys, orphan lambs to round things out. Cats chased mice, dogs chased cats, and they all ran through the stable, barking and braying, lowing and bleating, hissing and honking. It was something else. In truth, the stable was no quieter than our inn was it, Rachel? Anyway, the man, Joseph, followed me down and around the corner to our stable, dragging that old donkey with his wife behind him. Did he think I was going to make him sleep in the barn? Well, there was no other place to put them. So I let him follow me, wondering what Rachel was going to say when she found out I put them in the barn. The strangest thing happened, though. I opened the gate to let them into the stable, and the animals all settled down like they'd been waiting for them. The cattle and sheep bedded down and started chewing their cud. The donkeys settled in their stalls. Geese found their nests, and the dog and cats found beds for the night. Their eyes watched all that was unfolding. I've never seen anything like it before or since. The only way I can describe it is expectant.
In the stable? He expected that poor woman to give birth in a barn? But honestly, my Samuel was right. There was no other place. Childbirth is noisy, messy, and should be private. I certainly wouldn't want to give birth in the chaos inside our inn. Besides, they were happy to find any place where they could rest. It was better than sleeping on the hard ground in the cold countryside. I knew the woman, Mary, was in for a long night. I'd check on her as soon as I had a minute to spare. When Samuel told me about the animals, I hoped that they might have a quiet night at least. It was a while before I got away and found my way to the stable. It was just like my Samuel had described it with the animals. I made my way back to the stall, and I saw that the man, Joseph, had made a bed on a pile of straw for his wife. Their little donkey lay quietly alongside his cousins. Joseph had unpacked what would be needed for his wife and the baby that would soon arrive. Before leaving to fetch water, he'd put fresh straw in the manger and covered it with his cloak. I stepped quietly so that I wouldn't rouse the animals or disturb the laboring woman on the bed of straw. She smiled at me, and I sat down beside her. She thanked me for our kindness and told me of an angel and of a virgin birth. She didn't seem afraid. She seemed expectant. I wonder if she knew. Baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
So Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night.
Oh, yes, I remember. None of us will ever forget that night. We were on a hillside where we could look down over the town. We had watched people streaming in for weeks and were glad that we were not expected to cram into some room with a dozen people we didn't know. No siree, Simeon. We were happy right where we were, out in the open with our sheep, far from civilization. We certainly didn't care that we looked like 30 miles of rocky road, or that we smelled like we hadn't bathed in much, which we hadn't. Oh, whew. Now there's a smell that can cover up the distinctive aroma of sheep. I'm told that it can be a bit overpowering to the uninitiated. Anyway, that night we were sitting out in the field, marveling over the sky. The stars seemed brighter than ever. And my brother Abraham was pointing out the constellations, calling them by name. I could never seem to remember their names, but why would I need to? Abe knew. You know, Abe wasn't always a shepherd. When he was a boy, he studied in the synagogue with our uncle. Uncle Jacob, he had no sons, and he offered to raise him as his own and educate him in the Torah. You know, shepherds didn't usually have that privilege. Father was grateful that at least one of his sons would be educated properly. When our father died, Abe left his studies to help take care of the flock. But he never stopped learning. He told us about Moses and Abraham and about Jacob and Isaac. He told us about the prophecies of the Messiah that God was going to send to save us all. Nobody was really sure who or what we were going to be saved from exactly. Most of us hoped it was from the Romans, but Abe wasn't so sure. You know, the flock settled down and Abe ran out of things to tell us for once. The night was quiet when suddenly we were surrounded by light. I could see the shock on my brothers' faces that I am sure was mirrored in my own. Then an angel appeared and said,
"Fear not."
For some reason, when an angel declares, "Fear not," fear is our first reaction. Well, we feared all right. We were terrified. We fell on our faces, praying for Abba's protection like we'd never prayed before. Then the angel went on.
"Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, the whole sky was filled with what seemed like an army of angels. They were all declaring the same thing.
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
All of a sudden, we were all alone again. We were stunned and still a little blinded by the bright light of the angels. Abe was almost speechless, so we knew this was no dream. He kept saying, "It's true. It's all true." And we kept asking, "What's true?" Well, Abe's face told us. The prophecy was coming true. Messiah, our king, had come. A little baby was born. A king who was our savior. Messiah has come to save us. Well, we knew we had to go see for ourselves. Leaving the dogs with the sheep, we ran all the way to Bethlehem. We couldn't wait to see this baby king. We stopped at the edge of town to catch our breath and saw a light coming from a stable. When we stepped inside, we knew we'd come to the right place. The animals weren't spooked by a bunch of strangers barging into their home. They were quiet, resting, and watching. There, in the back of the stall, we saw something that can only be described as holy. It was exactly as the angel had said. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes was lying in a manger beside his mother. She was clearly exhausted, but her face was filled with love and wonder. Her husband sat on the other side and gazed lovingly on them both. The man motioned us inside, and with his finger to his lips, and pointing to the sleeping child. They smiled at us and one another, but neither said anything as we fell to our knees and worshiped this little baby king like they knew we couldn't help ourselves. The child stirred, and the man picked him up and placed him in his mother's arms. She cradled him so we could see his face. A baby, like every other baby, but at the same time, like no other child we'd seen before. We would never forget that holy night. Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave a sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. The light of the world given for us. Noel. Son of God and Son of Man, there before the world began. Born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, He shall reign forevermore. Come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story of amazing love, the light of the world given for us. Noel.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east and came to Jerusalem, saying,
Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him.
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for you shall come for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
As my brothers and I followed the star, we received word that Herod wanted to meet with us because he knew we had knowledge about the child king's whereabouts. We weren't surprised that he knew about our search, as we'd made no secret of our mission. But when we arrived in Jerusalem at his palace, we privately questioned his intentions. He sent us to Bethlehem, saying,
"Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so I too can come and worship."
After listening to the king, we left the palace. We were in agreement that Herod had no plans to worship the child king. We continued to follow the star until it came to rest over the place where the child was born, in Bethlehem. Now, some traditions call us kings. Others call us magi. Others still call us wise men, which is probably the closest to the truth. We were men of influence and of wealth. We'd spent our lives studying the ancient scrolls and prophecies, searching for signs of a holy one, a king foretold of ages past. When the star appeared in the sky, we knew it was the sign we had been searching for. See, we'd spent our lives preparing for this long journey. We gathered supplies, pack animals, and camels to take us westward. Most importantly, my brothers and I prepared gifts for the newborn king. Gaspar brought a chest of gold, and my other brother, Melchior, brought bags of frankincense. I packed 2 jars of the finest myrrh. We packed our gifts carefully. We didn't know how long it might take us to reach the king. We only knew the star was leading us. We stopped outside of Bethlehem and prepared ourselves. We put on robes and carefully unpacked our gifts. We consulted the scrolls one more time, then mounted our camels and headed into the small town, where the star had come to rest over a tiny house. Our hearts filled with joy that we had found this child king. The man, Joseph, was working out in the yard. His eyes got wide when we stopped at his house. But when we inquired about the child king, he invited us inside. A woman appeared from the back carrying the small child. And like her husband, her face showed momentary surprise. But she sat down on a stool and put the child, the king, in her lap. Had we not known that this child was the one foretold, we would not have recognized him. Yet there was something about him that told us we had reached the right destination. We knelt and worshipped him as the one foretold, the King of Kings. The child laughed and reached out for my hand as I lifted it in worship. He grabbed my finger, and I was filled with awe and with an overpowering feeling of love. We presented our gifts to the child in reverence and wonder. His parents graciously received the gifts, wondering at their extravagance. The little king viewed the proceedings as an invitation to play. When we left the house, it was growing dark. We returned to our camp and prepared to leave for the journey home the next morning. In the night, we were awakened after a dream warning us not to return to King Herod. we left immediately and returned to our home by another road.
A star and followed it from the east. We've come so far to get here. We held one hope that we might find a king. But how could we know that he would be God with us? Emmanuel, come to us. The King of Israel abides with us in this little boy. Who could know we'd find the eternal one born into time? This baby child is God. We brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When riches untold he left behind, we brought our best to celebrate a king who'd left his throne so that he could be God with us. Emmanuel, come to us. The King of Israel abides with us in this little boy. Who could know we'd find mortal and mystery somehow intertwined? This baby child is God with us. The hand of God reaching out for God, this baby child God with us. Mary's baby child God with us.
We hope you've enjoyed these glimpses into the Nativity. Some of them, like the innkeeper Samuel and his wife Rachel, have become part of our traditional telling of the Nativity story. Others, like Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds and wise men, are mentioned in Scripture. Well, we can only imagine how they might have responded to the angel's messages and to seeing the prophecies come true, we can be sure that they were real people with human limitations and emotions. But God used them mightily, as only He could, to bring reconciliation to us through Jesus, through this little baby. It is in Galatians, Paul tells us that Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. This little baby came for that reason. His mission was to rescue you and me. And as we come to worship and adore Him today, let's worship the baby, knowing that He is on His way to the cross to die for you and me. And if you have never received Christ, if you don't have that personal relationship with Him, you can today. You can come to know Him personally in a real and fresh way, and so that you can be rescued from the power of sin in this present evil age. So as we adore Him, let's stand and sing to this little child named Jesus, who is Christ the Lord.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Christ.